All right, I'll call to order. Adopt or amend the agenda, anything?
No.
Motion to approve the agenda as presented.
I'll second, Lisa.
It's been moved and seconded to adopt the agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Give that one to Lisa the second.
Okay.
I got it. Oh, we need to vote. We're going to do all this roll call again.
We have to do roll call.
Let me see. Yep. I better get your names down here then.
Okay. So, Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, number three is to approve the February 18th, 2020 minutes meeting. We need an approval of that or motion in a second.
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval.
Lisa to approval. Anybody for second?
Second.
Randy, I believe.
It was Michael.
Michael, okay.
All right. Jeff?
I'll abstain. I wasn't at the meeting.
Okay. Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Got it.
Got it.
Okay, moving on. Number four is the first quarter financial report. Requesting action. Does Aaron want to go through that at all?
Yes. So for the third quarter, it's showing that only some of the signatory revenue has come in at where it's supposed to. But as of right now, just to give you an update, all second quarter has been received. First and second. Fines are down. Obviously, we're at 20.85%, where we should be at around 25%, which is, we anticipated this. With this closure, we expected to have, I did a projection that I talked over with Karen, and we're looking at about a $63,000 deficit for fines. Which some of that had to do with juvenile fines being waived or not assessed. So it's not completely out of character for the fines revenue to look low on here, but this is going to be considerably lower due to March, April, and maybe May of not collecting very much. The only place we're getting fine revenue right now is through online. People check out stuff online and I have to pay a fine. And I just downloaded those dollars, and it was only about $1,000, which it's usually around $3,500. So just to give you a heads up about that. Interest is still coming in strong, but I wanted to point out that CD rates, and which I'm sure all of you know, are dropping like flies. I've never really seen them drop this fast, but except for back in 2008, 2009, when recession hit the housing market. I did do a little looking before the meeting today, and like 2012, interest rates were at 0.5. So it took a couple of years for interest to travel downward, but the ripple effect was still there and felt. Let's see. So rates. Oh, in the, I wanted to bring this to your guys' attention too, that it's not in this financial report because this is only operating, but we're starting to see some unemployment claims, and I just wanted to bring up the fact that we have about $30,000 still sitting in the dedicated emergency sub and severance account, which is where we're paying unemployment claims out of currently. Is $29,949.50, so about $30K in there. Some other things that I wanted to mention that's not really part of the financial report. Maybe I'll finish that first. So if you're looking at the financial report, that this is a new format I wanted to point out too that was requested. And I believe at the last time we had a meeting was at January, maybe, or February. This is showing you a comparison from the prior year. So if you look at, let's just say, take the first line on salaries, you could see that prior year quarter to date was $146,000, and this year $175,000. So you could kind of see that we're spending more already this year than we did last year at this time. And that is mostly due to increases and or for the general increases and the quartile movements. But overall, if you look at the overall, we're around 25%, which is typically normal for this time of year. But last year we ended up not getting billed for a few things in the first quarter that we were expecting, and they were paid in the second quarter, which are normally paid in the first quarter, so that can skew that number just a little bit. And also, obviously, payrolls were a little bit less, so that number there typically should be, I did a little quick calculation, should be around the 22, 23% range versus 25. But still, it's not that bad. We're doing well. I don't consider it too far out of character. I mean, most of it is in the personnel section. So, we got strong balances in our accounts. If you look on the bank balances and investment activity, we're doing really well there. Got strong. And I just wanted to point out the expense checking account balance that says it's got $234,000 at the end of March. I don't normally keep that much money in there. That was because I transferred money for a early April payroll. So the money hadn't been taken out until 4/10 or 4/9, I think it was. So that is why that balance looks higher than it usually does. But it's nothing to be concerned about. I just didn't have to transfer again twice in April. So... Karen, did you want me to go over, or do you want me to wait till we get to the budget talks for those other things?
Yeah, wait for the budget.
Okay. So as far as the quarterly, it's pretty typical where we're at right now. But I'll take any questions if anyone has any.
Ed here, Aaron. I think, yeah, you're pretty typical. Do you think that, you know, getting into the second quarter now, 1 month and going forward, do you think you're going to have some red flags go up in the second quarter?
No, I'm not really anticipating any monetary red flags other than I think fines are obviously going to keep trending downward. That's one area. I mean, a typical month is like $23,000 to $25,000 in fine revenue. We're probably looking at maybe up to, I don't know, it's a guess, but maybe $2,500 a month. So there could be considerable loss there until we open the doors back up and get people in there. As far as any other ones, no, I'm not really. I'm seeing business as usual. I mean, we're still paying the bills. We're still paying our normal payroll. Yeah, so no, actually, other than that, I don't add.
Okay. Anybody got any other questions for Aaron?
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram. Aaron, where are the unemployment claims coming if we're doing normal payroll?
Where are they getting paid out of?
No, where are they? Why are they coming forward?
I'll be honest. I don't deal with unemployment claims. That would be Julie. So if she's on this call, which I'm not sure if she is.
No, she's not. I can answer it, though.
Okay.
So there's a couple of things. We had an unemployment claim from separation a couple of years ago. And then we have a lot of part-time staff. So what we're seeing is when people, even though we're paying them and haven't cut their hours, if they've been cut in other jobs, we still are responsible for part of that unemployment claim. And so we're raising an issue with some of those, especially the ones who haven't seen any reduction in hours at all. But it's continuing to be a liability for us. Most recently, we had someone who was self-employed who applied for unemployment because they were newly eligible. And now we've had to raise an issue because we have not reduced their hours. And yet we are still on the hook for part of that unemployment claim.
Wow. Well, that's interesting. I mean, that could open up a real can of worms, I would think.
And He's struggling a bit just getting a hold of someone in unemployment. I know Julie's been on multiple calls with them trying to get a hold of somebody. At one point, their phone wasn't even taking calls anymore. So it's just really hard to get hold of anybody to raise an issue with them. We're going to continue to try to do that, but it is something I think we'll be at more of a risk for than we realize because we have so many part-time employees who work multiple jobs.
And I just also noticed this, Jeff, that I have another claim on my desk here that I'm going to have to pay by the end of May. So that's another almost $600 coming out of that fund. So just keep in the back of your head, there's about $29,300 in there now.
Yeah.
And Mr. Chair, obviously, I'm not sure how to get ahead of this, but if these claims aren't contested and if they're paid and word gets out, well, obviously, more people are going to do it. That 30,000 could be gone pretty quickly.
Right. We may it. At one point, that was a budgeted line, but because we hadn't had claims in a really long time, we took it out of the operating budget and made it a designated fund, knowing we had a lot of reserves available if we ever used it up. So there may be a point in time this year where we have to shift some of those reserve funds into that designated line in order to maintain where we need to go. We are raising an issue though, so it's a matter of how the unemployment office handles those issues as we go forward.
But I'm not paying the claim though, Karen, just so you know, until like way late in May. In case it gets cleared up by then I don't have to deal with getting the credit.
Yeah, just hold it until it's due.
Yep.
Anything else? Entertain a motion.
I'll move.
Dave moves.
Go ahead. I'll second it.
Seconded it?
Jeff.
Okay, thank you. All right, for vote, Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
And Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Moving on to number 5, the proposed 2021 base budget.
Yes. So this budget was prepared back in back in early March, and it was part of, I believe, of the original board packet for March. So the, what you're seeing here hasn't been adjusted whatsoever since then. But I can go over the key points on it. So the 2021 budget's yielding a 1.71% overall increase, or $162,600 from the 2020 budget we're currently operating under. Some of the major changes that were part of this were usage of cash reserves, the $100,000 that was approved by the board, decrease in fine revenue, decrease in interest revenue, decrease in anticipated ROBSS funding, and not using the pot of money that MinLink and Revenue Fund used to be a part of, because we used that up in 2020. So now, but going forward, we're only going to be budgeting what we actually expect to bring in for those lines. Some of the expenditure changes, we've got regional board meetings that went up due to per diem change. Increase the telephone services to get that budget in line with what annual expenditures are, and that'll take a few years to get there, because we cannot use, currently we cannot use 2015 ROTA funds and forward to pay for our phone services at our branches in St. Cloud. Increase the library materials, although small, still an increase. The biggest one, obviously, is personnel benefits and pay increases that were negotiated. And then a slight decrease to supplies and postage. Slight decrease to insurance. A decrease to vehicle. And that right there is mainly because we have a really robust balance in our fuel account over at First Fuel Bank. And obviously we're going to have an even bigger one now than since we haven't been running 5-day a week deliveries. I think at last time I checked, it was around 30,000 plus that was in that account. So it doesn't really make sense to budget $30,000 for gas when we have a good prepaid amount on the books as it is. So I did kind of an average for that to make it a little bit easier on the signatories and more flat line going forward. And then a little bit, $10,000 decrease to automation. Let's see what else is in here. So that's the same budget that you guys received. You should also have in your packets how the changes were derived, just like last year and year before. For each one of these sections, people have individual budget lines that they're responsible for. And so they send these changes to me, and then I implement them into the groups. So every single budgetary line item is in here on those base budget estimate forms. Those might be new for this, which I don't think anyone is. So, and what else? Oh, and that's the budget request. I think Karen is going to go over those. So a couple things that I wanted to mention that Karen and I had looked at for the 2021 budget is, usually when we do the budget, we are budgeting our employer portion of FICA, Medicare, Social Security, and employer para match. We're budgeting that on full rates, which we don't necessarily need to do, because a lot of people that have like FSAs and HSAs and things like that and deferred compensation, that stuff comes off the top before it's taxed. Not everything's taxed the same way, but it does reduce the amount that we have to pay for matching Social Security and Medicare, because some of them are exempt from those. So I actually keep worksheets that give me the effective rate and the full rate. So I went back in 2019 and I did an average of all 26 payrolls and plugged that into the budget document to see kind of where things would land. and it's approximately a $37,000 savings if we did that. One other thing that we're considering doing, I believe Karen wanted me to mention this too, is that we are going to be removing the comm dev position that is currently holding a slot in the 2021 budget, as that was going to be used for other things. And I think Karen might go over a little bit of that too later. One other thing I want to mention is that if we did this, fixing the averages for the FICA and Medicare and para and getting rid of that position, it's approximately a $67,000 savings. And then we could redirect that down and decrease the interest revenue on those CDs, because I think that's where it's heading. And so that would be a smart move to offset that with no impact to signatories. So it was just something that Karen and I have been talking about, thinking about. So we just wanted to make sure that you guys were aware of it. And maybe if you wanted to have a discussion about it, we could.
Mr. Chair, I'd like to offer that this is the biggest change from the March finance packet to the current finance committee packet. We originally were going to discuss shifting the communications and development position, what was left of it, to potentially hiring a cultural navigator. And in the current environment, we've decided to pull that proposal and just offer to eliminate that from the base budget, rather than holding that position open. In the current environment, it doesn't make sense for us to invest in in-person services, because we're struggling to even offer services at all in the current environment. So we've decided to pull that position back rather than ask for the board to consider moving it forward.
That's probably smart. Mr. Chair, Dave?
Yes.
When we're talking about reserve money, you know, we didn't expect all this to happen, and a lot of decreases. Should we be considering taking more reserve money to offset anything? And Aaron or Karen, I don't know if you have any.
We do have, I think we lost Aaron, so hopefully he'll try to log back on. But we do have a proposal to talk about that unassigned fund balance. That's number 7. So we just moved it forward as the base budget for a point of discussion.
All right. Sorry. Got to
No, that's fine.
Any other questions? Entertain a motion then to approve. Am I good? Can you hear me?
Mr. Chair, I'll move approval. This is Lisa. Of the base budget, 2021 base budget as presented.
Looks like Randy needs to unmute
here, but there we go. Anyway, I think you may have a hard time getting a second, but I'll second again for more discussion, because I'm a little bit lost on a question. So there you go, Mr. Chair. I'll second for more discussion.
Okay. And what's the, you want to bring up some of the discussion then, Randy?
Yes, please. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So I'm just looking on page 15. And again, obviously, I'm going to look at all the county's dollar figure. But based on last year to this year, I don't, that number of dollar change of roughly $200,000 is $199,681. What was the change from 2018 to 2019, Aaron? Do you have that? I don't know if Aaron's there.
I can answer that. I don't think
I
can get. If you look on page 15.
Yep.
You can see the dollar change from 2018 to 2019 on that upper part for the signatory revenue alone. And the biggest difference between this year's base budget and prior year's base budget is this year's base budget includes the negotiated salaries because we do have those contracts finalized. In prior years, we haven't included that until we got to the preliminary budget phase. So, but on page 15, you can see the 2018 signatory share was 71,151. And the 2019 was 71,126. 2020 was 71,130. And then the 2021 proposed in the base budget. So this isn't the final budget. This is the base, is the 73,29. And that includes adding the 100,000 in cash reserves from the 2019 surplus. If you look below in the second box, under non-signatory revenue, unassigned fund balance cash reserves is including $100,000. The base budget is the first step in the budget process. We have the two budget requests that follow this, and then the discussion about unassigned fund balance that we talked about in February. So those are coming up. So passing the base budget is accepting the budget line changes that we've proposed with the understanding that the preliminary budget still needs to be formed.
All right. Yeah, that answers some of my questions. We'll move on into the other budget. Thank you for that.
If I could, Mr. Chair, Dave.
Sure. Go ahead.
So then, Karen, if we approve this base budget, once we get to the preliminary, that is that getting really, really close to the final budget when we, yes. You're going to be changing some more figures, I'm assuming.
Right. So we'll go through the base budget today, the department budget requests, and then the unassigned fund balance, and then there'll be a preliminary budget that's presented at the May Finance Committee. And then once the Finance Committee passes the preliminary budget, the full board takes a look at it. It needs to be approved by the July meeting.
Okay. So if we have suggestions to change things now, would we better to do it now or later?
Now.
Okay.
Now.
All right, thank you. Mr. Chair, I just want to make a comment. Randy and Mike and Lisa, you can chime in. You know, we're struggling right now as a county as to what we're going to do with tax payments coming up. I don't know if you guys have discussed it at all. We're thinking about at least doing away with penalty. Now, I've heard that some counties have done away with first half or delayed the first half of payments. And we're talking about or having discussion about doing away with your penalties. So, you know, our revenues and as a county, a small county, are going to be down. I don't know about you, Ed, and Randy, because if we take this action, that decreases our revenue. And we may be doing some other things too. So I don't know. I'm just a little concerned. So.
Mm-hmm.
And if I may chime in here, Mr. Chair, then I'll let someone else speak. Yeah, we took action. We didn't, forgive the full penalty on property taxes. I'm assuming you're doing that. We lowered it basically across straight board up to 1%, anything due after the 16th. And then that's good till June 15th or something like that, because the fact that our auditor, she showed us that these large corporations like the electric companies, if they get waived that whole thing, they'll wait till June or July because they can, if they have millions of dollars that they pay every year, and that would be one of the things. So we just lowered it across the 1% hope, you know, to help out people. But I agree too. I can't remember if Benton and Todd and the rest of the counties, the sales tax that we collect, maybe some of you have the wheelage tax, but that is way down this year and we're going to get really hurt.
Yep. We've been told that too, Randy. Yes.
So there you go. That's my 3 cents.
Yeah, we haven't done anything on the property tax waiver yet. We kind of tabled it in essence of time in our last meeting. We're going to take it up on the 5th. You know, you see them all over the board when you read from AMC and that
right.
You know, some have waived everything till July 15th. And I agree with Dave a little bit on some of the larger companies. I seen one county that did that. Anybody that's got a tax bill over $100,000 doesn't get any forgiveness. So that was one way of looking at it. But yeah, as county budgets go forward, you know, Randy had a good point. Sales tax is way down. We're going to have to make some adjustments here somehow in my book as we go through the annual base budget, because I don't think that we're going to have to find somewhere to do something with that $199,000 increase of 2.8%.
And but, Mr. Chair, if I may, one of the proposals for the unassigned fund balance is to use that unassigned fund balance to offset any county signatory contribution. So that's certainly something we could do. I know it's jumping ahead, but the audit just was completed and we learned that the unassigned fund balance amount has actually increased in spite of our best efforts to about 7 months since last year. So, and that's already taking out the 100,000 that's already in this base budget. So in terms of shifting dollars away from the counties, the unassigned fund balance is available and something we've already talked about even before all this happened.
Okay, thanks, Karen.
And Mr. Chair, again, this is a bad word. I know Karen doesn't want to hear it, but, you know, whether the layoffs, is there going to be, I know that we really, you know, are think diligently about everything, but is that going to be, I'm just going to throw that out there. Is that a possibility that, you know, if this dollar change, is that going to be something that we'd have to maybe consider, even though we have a 7 month fund balance?
So I guess I'm not sure if I'm completely understanding your question, so feel free to redirect me if I'm answering on a different tangent. But our unemployment line is a designated fund, so it's not part of our operating revenue. It's not currently part of the base budget. If we lay people off, we are still going to be on the hook for some of those wages, regardless if people are working or not. So that's something to keep in mind. We are self-insured just like the counties are. So it is something we would have to pay a portion of even if we do reduce the workforce at some point in time. It's a little hard to tell right now what that's going to look like. One of our challenges is once the doors are opened, typically our business at the library is at its height when we're in the midst of a recession. So it's very possible we'll have a higher demand for services than we normally would, given the current economic climate.
Karen, do we know what the state aid from the RLBSS is going to be for next year? No.
We won't know that until September. That being said, the total amount won't change. What could happen is a shift in the equalization factor, which is based on adjusted net tax capacity, but that would be based on last year's adjusted net tax capacity. So it's more likely we would see a major shift in state aid outside of the normal shift in the 2022 budget cycle. The bigger risk for 2021 is something we won't really know until January, probably. And that's if the state decides to delay education payments, which they've done in the past, where now we receive it on a 90-10 split. In the past, I think they've moved as far as 75-25, and that impacts the budget more directly.
Mr. Chair, again, Karen, help me out here. What was the dollar amount that we used back in February that we was that the $100,000 we took out of the unassigned?
Yep, that's the amount that's on the non-signatory revenue sheet on page 15. The
right.
And fund balance, that 100,000 is in there.
So like Commissioner, well, I shouldn't say Commissioner, the one of us are looking at maybe possibly that, oh, Dave said that, yeah, Commissioner Kirchner said that, that possibly that maybe we have to make a change now. So if we have a 7-month supply of unassigned, roughly, what could we take that down to? Like, again, I'm just putting this out there for discussion. I would like to see something there because 7 months, we're way out in front now. So I'm putting that out there for discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mike.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Randy, I think we discussed this before. We decided to go down to a 5.5-month reserve because we're like close north of 8. Yeah. And I think we agreed to go down to 5.5. So whatever the 7-month to 5.5, whatever that number is, that's how much we could adjust and still be within what we agreed to do before.
And that's agenda item number 7.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, and Karen, but before we vote on this, should we be discussing agenda item number 7?
Good point.
It's kind of a chicken and an egg. Or do we, I could withdraw my motion just by process. What seems right or what is the appropriate channel? Do we need to discuss item 7 first? I'm not sure.
I guess, you know, it's entirely up to us as the Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm. I think we should jump ahead and talk about 7 and not vote right now.
And again, I think the rules of Roberts, though, again, just because Lisa made the motion and I made the second doesn't mean we're approving it. Just that we're, that's why I said for more discussion. I think we have every bit of right to go to number 7, agenda 7, without even changing anything at this time.
I think that would be more appropriate, yes, than voting on it and having it fail. I would feel better if we discussed number 7 and then came back to this.
It isn't the proper way is to lay it on the table and leave it and then come back to it.
I believe you're right, Dave.
Yep. Yes, that is. Yep.
So do I make a motion to lay it on the table?
You made a motion to approve it. I'll make a motion to lay it on the table. Then
okay.
You don't have to counter.
Perfect.
Okay. Second.
That's easier.
Yep. Thanks, Dave.
Yeah.
And this is until after item 7's discussion.
Pardon?
The lay on the table is until after item 7's discussion.
Yes.
Thank you.
We don't need to vote on that, I believe.
No. No, I don't think so.
Not for a table item.
Okay.
So then we'll move on to item number 7.
Do you want to skip 6?
Oh, do we want to skip? No.
Just asking.
We'll go to item number 6 then first.
Okay, we have 2 different bullet points into there. Rachel was going to present on media scheduling, and Jamie and Jay are going to talk about Ed Resource Central.
Okay. You will try to be as brief as possible, and then I'll give you all some room to ask questions. Our professional collection is an internal collection. It's items that are used and passed amongst our branches to enhance different services and programming that they're offering at their libraries. So it can be our coding kits, it can be story time props to use. So they all circulate within house, and we need the ability to be able to schedule those items far out in advance so that they can plan ahead of time what they're going to be offering at their libraries. Currently, our process of requesting those items, they're all hosted at headquarters in St. Cloud, and our circulation department manages the requests that come through from staff. Currently, those requests come through with a request form. There's a spreadsheet involved. There's a report involved. It involves the IT department. It involves tech services as well as CERC, kind of managing two different types of the collection. So we've been looking for an alternative to clean up some of our workflow processes, reduce some of the friction that staff experience when they're requesting these items, make it a little easier for everybody, and just create some of that workflow, make it more efficient for staff. A tool that we have looked into is media scheduling through Horizon, well, through Suzy Dynex, so it happens in our Horizon catalog. It's a piece that's added on to a system that they're already used to using for our items and materials in our collection. And it would allow our branch staff to self-schedule their items. So they'd be able to go in, schedule the dates that they need the professional collection item. It would come up on a pull list, so it would be transported to the branch pretty easily and with very minimal, less effort than currently takes place. Right now, our circulation staff spend probably about 3 times the amount of time that there should be spending to manage the professional collection. And I think Media Scheduler would get them back to where they should be, the amount of time they should be spending on this task. It would also allow them to take on the piece that Tech Services does. So all of the professional collection right now, it's housed under 2 departments. All of it could be housed under 1 department to manage and send out to branches, just creating more of that efficiency and freeing our staff up to take on other responsibilities and tasks that we're now finding we weren't expecting, but now because we've started up curbside, we're continuously adding different things, and we'd like to continue those services as we move forward. So this would actually free like our circulation staff up to maybe continue on with those efforts in a good way. Are there any questions that any of you have about it? What you see with the pricing is there's a startup pricing to get it started, and then there's an operational cost of $2,400 a year for the ongoing operational cost of the media scheduler. And the startup cost, we are requesting that to come out of the capital automation line in the budget for 2021, I should say, too. This is all starting in 2021.
So, Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram.
Sure.
The implementation cost at $15,300, that's already been budgeted? Or it's just the general pot that it's going to be taken out of?
We already have money in capital, Jeff, so that's already there.
Undesignated.
Not designated to a specific project. It's just capital automation. Yeah.
Because, I mean, in reality, obviously the money's got to come from someplace. It would be the $15,300 plus the $2,400 is really more accurate, probably.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
The 24 just wasn't budgeted like the capital general.
Correct. Budget. Yep. 24 would be the ongoing item that would become part of the base budget.
Got it.
Yep.
And I would also add that we haven't tried to negotiate this down any because it's so far out in advance. We will negotiate this number down with our vendor before we sign any contract. So it could end up being less than the $15,300.
I appreciate that, Jay, that you negotiate.
I'm not understanding. It says $2,400 startup and then year one, $2,400. So is it $2,400 from now on?
Yes. Yeah. The way our budget request is set up, it asks for a yearly thing. So
is that support?
It's $2,400 each year.
Yes, Dave, that's for support for, you know, paying for the ability to have upgrades done and that sort of thing.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Now I'm clear. I didn't know why they would charge you a startup every year. So, okay.
Yeah.
So it's support then. All right. Thank you.
Any other questions?
You need a motion?
Yes.
I'll move. Dave.
Mr. Chair, I'll second that.
Thanks, Mike.
Okay, for vote on the scheduling. Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Yes, aye.
Lee?
I, even though I question if this is parliamentary correct, as long as we're making progress, I, and I'll get a chance later, I'm sure, to bring up other related matters.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Okay, I've got it.
Okay.
Thank you.
So now we'll go on to number 7.
All right, is Jamie still there? There she is.
Is it 6.2 yet?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yep, sorry about that.
All right, I was just sending a note to Aaron. This is ERC. It's called eResource Central. And the background is that we had some staff requests based on interactions with patrons to have a mobile app. And in the process of evaluating, you know, what was behind that request, it became apparent that really what patrons are looking for is not so much an app, but the ability to have all of our resources available, searching from one place and manage all of their activity from one place. And that's what this ERC would do. It would bring our 3 ebook platforms all within our main library catalog and allow people to manage all of their library activity from one place. And I will let Jamie take over from here.
Thanks, Jay, and thanks, committee, for your time. As Jay said, it consolidates all of our. If you think of the ebook platforms as storefronts, right now you have to visit 3 different places to look at your account. This would allow you to have one stop to view all of your holds in one place at one time. An analogy that Jay had used is, say, for example, you're shopping for a pair of pants, you know the color, the size, and the cut that you want. Instead of having to visit all of the different stores, you just type in what you're looking for into our catalog or to Google, and it brings you all of the places where that is available instead of having to go to each individual site. It would streamline things for patrons, eliminating that friction, so increasing discoverability of the e-content. It would allow staff to help our patrons more effectively. If you say, I have a hold, and you can't see it in the account, there's 3 different places potentially to look. It also, on the back end, creates some efficiencies. When we purchase content, it has to be loaded into our catalog, and that is a very manual process right now. This service would allow that to happen on the back end, automated, so that the records would be automatically imported at the point of purchase. Likewise, when content expires or deletes, it would handle some of that on the back end. So that, in a nutshell, in the interest of time, it would streamline both the patron and the user experience, and then streamline workflow on the backside. We do have funding in the innovation account, the dedicated fund that we could use for the first year cost, and we would be looking at the second year cost, and that's what you see reflected in the budget request. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chair.
Mike.
I got a question. Is that 13,620, is that every year?
Yes, it would be that every year. And, you know, of course, there's always inflation too, but that's what we know for now.
Just to make sure I'm clear. Thank you.
The one advantage, Mr. Potter, is that it is less expensive than a mobile app would be. So it's still fulfilling that need, but at a lower cost.
Mr. Chair, I'll follow up on that. Yeah, Jamie, I agree with that because I've had a couple people asking the one-stop shop for getting information, and I'm technologically impaired for the most part, didn't know how to get there and what they're asking. So this sounds like this is what's going to help us out. And this also is compatible with what we just approved just before that system. What the heck was that called?
The media scheduling?
Yes.
Media scheduling is primarily going to introduce staff efficiencies. This is a very, very, very patron-facing enhancement.
I'm just going to comment. This is Dave. I think my wife would like this. I think this is one of the complaints I get from her. So I think it would be good, although it looks a little spendy. But
yeah. I'll just make a comment.
Go ahead, Dad. Go ahead, Mr. Chair.
I'll just make a comment. You know, when we spend money on the county, we have one commissioner in general that always says, okay, so we spend $15,000 with $2,400 annually. How are you going to come back and show us that this was a justification spending and we've either saved some time or saved some resources somewhere else before we spend this money? And I guess I'm looking at the same thing here. $13,000 annually. Are we going to save some staff time or something that we're going to justify a $13,000 a year spending?
I don't know that I can quantify that into an exact dollar amount, but I do believe it would save staff time in answering patron questions more effectively and efficiently, as well as on the back end for our cataloging staff, not having to manually process records.
This is primarily a benefit to making the patron experience better, and it's pretty hard to quantify that because, you know, we don't have revenue, you know, from serving our customers.
Mr. Chair, if I may.
Yes.
Randy. Anyway, on page 35, it states on there, it says, in reviewing the mobile offering from our catalog vendor, we determined that our web catalog already offers most features that are available in this mobile app. So why, again, the question is this a need or a want?
So the mobile app does most of what our catalog does now, but what the expectation of patrons who were forwarding this request through staff was this ERC to have one place where everything is integrated. And while, yes, our current catalog is very mobile friendly now, it still doesn't have everything in one place. So it does not meet that need. And even if we did buy the mobile app, this enhancement would also be required in order to give the patrons that one-stop shop.
And then, Mr. Chair, I have one more question. I don't know how many I'm going to kind of show up my cell phone here. It's an iPad, iPhone or whatever. It's got a gazillion features on it. I probably use maybe three or four of them that I really need. Maybe that's because I'm old-fashioned. But it's got a lot of other things. Is it just a handful of patrons that are requesting this, you know, compared to all the thousands of patrons we have?
Go ahead, Jamie. This would actually benefit all of our patrons, regardless if they were using a mobile device or not. It would integrate into our website. So regardless if you were accessing our website from your desktop or a mobile device, you would still be able to see all of your holds in one place. And the digital library use is growing considerably. So it is our greatest growth area. So I would say it would be serving all of our patrons, and I'll let Karen or Jay comment if they had anything else.
Well, this is Dave. I do. I do think it's a lot of money, but you know, us old farts, we don't look about at technology like the younger generations do. And you know, my wife loves this, and she looks on the library and then she'll say, well, I can't find it because I got to go to this and I got to go to that and blah, blah, blah. And she gets all upset over that. And a lot of these younger generation, this younger generation, that's all they do is use the e-stuff and technical stuff. And sometimes we have to think outside the box as old timers here to look at the younger generation and who's going to be using the library. So I do, it's a lot of money. I'm a little shy on that, but I really think we have to keep bringing ourselves and keeping ourselves up to date with the times. So.
And Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Some of us older ones have to get out of dinosaur mode. So. That is the modern way of looking at things. Because the patrons I talk to, and my wife is like Dave's wife, why don't you have a one-stop place I can get all this stuff? Again, I agree. It's a lot of things, but it is moving forward. And I think there will be some efficiencies, maybe not to this degree, but there will be some efficiencies there where people don't have to get frustrated trying to find what they're looking for.
Any other comments or questions?
This is clearly where the world is going, and a way to improve service. And in the future, I think this, you'll see this be a growth area. The whole digital movement is something we should embrace. It definitely changes how we deliver services, but it's worthwhile to do. I'm glad that we have the opportunity to do this. Clearly, this will be a learning opportunity for us as well, but it's where the world's going.
And with that, Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion to approve the e-resource central request.
I'll second that.
Okay, vote for the e-resource service. So, Jeff?
Aye.
Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee? Lee?
Oh, aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye. And forgive Lee, he was taking a nap.
Randy?
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay, now we will get to number 7. So who wants to start?
I can talk you through this if you'd like. So Aaron and I started taking a look at different ways we could incorporate a spend down of the unassigned fund balance into the 2021 budget. So these options would all be on top of what's currently in the budget. We already have the $100,000 that we laid over from the 2019 surplus incorporated into the base budget. So option one, if you look on the capital budget line on page 16. You can see that there is a $99,113 amount due from the counties that is strictly for capital revenue. So rather than asking the counties for the capital revenue, we would then pull the money over from the unassigned fund balance and reduce the signatory amounts by those shares that are indicated there. And this would be a less risky option because the capital amount is not something we spend on an annual basis. It's on an as needed basis. So building it back out of the budget at some point would be not as difficult. So that would bring the total amount of signatory share down by $99,000 roughly. The second option we looked at was just a simple bring a CD over and put it into the revenue line. So where it says unassigned fund balance on page 15, rather than $100,000 being there, we would raise that to $350,000, because at the February meeting, we had talked about spending down one full CD. So taking that $250,000 and just building it right into the revenue line. The risk in doing that is it sets you up to do something similar in future budgets so that the shifts in either direction aren't too dramatic, but it is something we could do. And the last option, we had looked at previous budget years when budget years were tight to see what had been done. And one of the budgets that had been passed in the height of the recession was a $0 budget. And that meant that rather than running the increase from the budget through the signatory formula, we simply took that amount and said each county's contribution would be the same as it was the prior year. And if you look at page, that one that Randy was looking at, page 20, you can see in the base budget currently with 100,000 already built in, each signatory share amount, the total amount is about $202,000. That includes that capital amount. So you could bring down that total amount with offsetting amounts from the unassigned fund balance. And that would be a one-time budget option. It might be a little harder to account for because we wouldn't be using our standard formula. So those are the three different alternatives we came up with. We're certainly open to looking at other options, but those seem to be the easiest ways we could make that adjustment and account for it.
Comments?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Red County, option three looks best because with this time we're at right now, if we can make it so we have no increase, we can make in progress at some point in time. I mean, and if we still are maintaining our 5.5 reserve, which we're looking for, that might help this month to schedule. But I just know next year's budget is going to be a little tough with what we're dealing with right this year.
And Mr. Chair, if I may add too, I don't guarantee that this would get us down to 5.5. We simply use that one CD figure that we had talked about in February as kind of the benchmark for the options, but we can adjust the total amount out of the unassigned fund balance however we need to. So if you want to take that full amount down to 7, from 7 to 5.5, that's a fairly big bite, but it wouldn't be a lot for future years, and I'm anticipating it more than 1 year. So,
yeah, I guess I wouldn't be in favor of taking the whole big bite, like you say, Karen.
No,
but you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, a little bit at a time, or you know, if we do too much, then you expect the same thing next year and year after, and we don't know how long this is going to take to get back to where, what, you know, where counties and that'll be business as usual. So I think that's a plan. Whether we just, you know, stop at freezing the rates, or if we use the whole 350,000, like she said, I guess that's entirely up to recommendation from this committee.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yep.
Oh, good. I'm back. All right. Having some technical issues. So to bring it down to like 5.5, I believe is right around the $1.1 million mark. Just to give you some context.
No, I agree with that. That's, I don't want to take it all. No.
No. Well, the years down the road is the things that would be tough, hey guys.
No. Yeah. We'd be struggling maybe down there.
So yeah. Mr. Chair.
Yes, Lisa.
If I may, since we had talked about the equivalent of one certificate, which was a $250,000 certificate, how about kind of a combination of option three and two, where we create the budget with zero increase, and that's approximately almost a $200,000 savings, and then also add $50,000 to the reserve amount in operating revenue on that $100,000 line. So instead of $100,000, it would be $150,000. And that would get us to about the 250,000 certificate that we recommended.
Anyway, Jay, quit muting me all the time. God dang it anyhow.
Jay, please keep muting me.
I want Jeff to listen to what I have to say.
I'm listening.
No, I'm fine. I was going to say something, but that one point, I'm totally against that too. And again, I think I can't remember who made the comment that if we use it this year, this means that we'll keep using it next year. I don't agree with that. I think if we can just take small portions of it at a time and then move forward, but I'm not that one. That way too much money to take all at once.
I like Lisa's idea. I really do.
So. Yeah. Yeah, I can kind of Lisa's idea.
Kind of a hybrid, the big 1. What million? That's way too much, I believe, for all of our comfort levels. But do number 3, as it says, and then add 50,000 to the 100,000 in the non-signatory to bring that to 150,000 would be my recommendation.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mike.
I was talking about before where our 7-month reserve down to 5.5. It wasn't an intent to bring it down in one shot.
Right.
It says we have enough cushion where we could do what Commissioner Fovea said with no problem putting a problem in the future. You know, because we can incrementally slowly bring this down to the 5.5. We don't have to do it all 1 year. If we do it now to keep that at 0, we still have room if we need to do it next year if we got another problem for next year financially. So that would work, but that was not my intention to bring it down for 7.5 months to 5.5 months in one shot.
Lisa, are you making a motion, Lisa, or no?
Certainly. Well,
did Mike make a motion already or no?
Not on this one.
Oh, okay.
So we laid the first motion on the table.
Yes.
So do we have to make a motion to remove that from the table?
Mr. Chair, we move on this action first, and then we go back to the action we laid on the table.
Okay.
Incorporate the decision here into that.
Okay. So Karen and Aaron, do you understand what I'm proposing with this motion?
Yes.
Okay. So I think with one caveat, I mean, we passed those two prior budget requests, so we'd incorporate that into the total, and that might change these amounts slightly.
Okay, so yes, then my proposal would be option 3, figure out what that means financially, and then whatever we have left up to 250,000 put on option 2. And that would be my motion.
So Lisa, can I ask you a question? So we would apply the 50,000 roughly to the unassigned fund balance of cash reserves and make that 150,000 then, right?
Correct.
Okay. So I need a second on that.
I'll second that, Mr. Chair. This is Randy.
Okay, Patty.
I just have one more discussion, but again, this would all become to the full board in July, right?
Right.
The finance committee would get to see it again in May before the board would take action on it. The board would see it in May, but it would only be presented as preliminary and not for action for them.
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram. Am I on?
Yes.
Okay. I'm intentionally being quiet, not that anybody gets concerned that I'm not saying anything. Because I, out of respect for the commissioners, you guys have to balance your budget. And so out of respect, as the only non-commissioner, I'm not going to tell you guys how to do it. And if you guys feel comfortable with this, I'm not going to oppose it. But I'm glad the boys and Marlene aren't here, because when we do our budget for our home and we do the budget for the business, we don't spend $31,000 in a meeting in an hour and 10 minutes and dip into the reserves at the same time, or else we wouldn't be where we are by doing that. These are difficult times, there's no doubt about it, but I'm not going to be on the board beyond, I think, a couple more years, so the financial ramifications of continuing to spend money and dipping into the reserves. I'm not an economist by any means, but I'd be concerned, I guess, if I was people that had to meet payroll and do other things 2, 3, 4 years down the road. So I'm not opposed to it, but at some point you may want to really grab a hold of some of this stuff, and 3% increases and, you know, spending some reserves and doing that all seems to be somewhat innocent. And before you know it, the reality hits. And that's just my non-commissioner, common sense, old-fashioned, dinosaur, 2 cents worth, I guess.
That's great comments, Jeff. It kind of goes back to where, you know, we always have to justify the spending to see if someplace in that, you know, the 31,000 or whatever we spent, that we either recoup some of that or we have less staff or something has to give. We just can't, you know, we're never just adding 31,000 to the, you know, to the budget without, you know, seeing some benefits other than, you know, there is some, you know, streamlining and stuff like that that goes to the general usage. Well, then maybe usage needs to go up, or I don't know how you justify them spendings other than, you know, I'm hoping that we'll see something down the road, I guess.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to, you know, compliment Mr. Bertram. He always seems to be caring about the bottom line and the money, which is rightful. And he's not a commissioner, but he does care just as much as a commissioner cares about what's going on here. And I'm with about, you know, an innocent act today might cost you something in the future. I'm just going to tell you the gurus I subscribe to financially, the big nut to crack is 2023 when there's $5 trillion in corporate debt to be reset. That's the challenge. That's going to be the challenging budget that year.
Could I get clarification on one thing? For the option number 3 that you guys just voted on, so am I basing this off of 2019 signatory contributions or 2020? Because the packet says 2019 Aaron, signatory.
That was the 2019, Aaron. It would be $0. Oh.
No. No.
2020. That should say 2020.
Right. Yep. You're okay. Right.
Yeah, we don't want to go back that far.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I'll make that change to my motion that number 3 should stay, follow the 2020 signatory contributions.
I had one other question.
For some counties, that might be more, not less, because the formula is weird.
The last question I had, because I was having technical difficulties and I might have missed this, but when I was explaining some things that we could do, you know, with the employer match, things like that, was that, and taking out that position, do I still need to do that, or was that not voted on?
It was not voted on, but I believe we'll plan on doing that.
Okay. Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair, this is Randy. I have a comment. What Karen just said about kind of scared me a little bit. Her last comment was that if we leave it this way, it's still some of the county's dollar figure could go up. Is that what you meant, Karen?
No, what I'm saying is for some counties, 2019 was less than 2020, and for some counties, it's the opposite.
In 2020, yeah.
Right. This year's contributions went up for some counties, but not all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if I may, Mr. Chair, Dave, I agree with Jeff. I mean, I know we were spending some money there, but sometimes I think we have to spend to make progress, and how we make that up, I don't know, but I think we are making it up by dipping into the reserves. We've talked about that before. I'm not a big fan of dipping into the reserves, but if we have to, we do, and we are. And I don't think the dipping is too much. We have, in my home, I don't have that kind of reserves, but maybe Jeff does, but I don't. But anyway.
I do.
Okay. But when we're dealing with tax dollars and money, that with such large reserves, I get questions from my board, why aren't you using some of these reserves rather than increasing our amounts? So,
and I, Mr. Chair, this is Randy again. And I guess my board, this is the first time they go, there better not be an increase at the Great River this year. So just to throw that out there.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
It's a nice problem to have when you have a healthy reserve that you can.
Yes.
And Commissioner Kircher, I can't believe that you don't have reserves having a.
Mike, no, come on.
My Lord, that's a large country. But, you know, in all fairness, you know, this is why it's nice to have the large reserve, because when you have these challenges, you can weather these storms pretty easy. You know, the entities, like, I'll pick on schools because I can, they don't have a lot of reserves. So these things that are going on right now are just, they're in panic mode right now. They don't know what to do. And so dipping in a little bit of reserves, that's what it's there for, to smooth out something. And I agree with Randy that the board would really like it if we could come in with a zero this year. You know, because the evil county over here that seems to see the large increases every year, you know, they wouldn't have a problem if that happened this year, you know, because we're going to have our challenges just like everybody else is.
Mr. Chair, over the years, I've served on various boards with Spence in a county, and I get the standard discussion from him that large reserves indicate you've been taxing too much. So I'd like to see some spend down of some sort. And I don't have a preference on which way we go here. It's just great to have some options. And as long as we settle on something where there's some reduction, we're still well in the safe zone. So be my two cents worth. Let's agree on something and go from there.
I believe we have a motion. Do we have a second to that motion from Lisa?
Yes, Randy seconded that.
Okay.
Are you ready for a vote?
Yes.
Okay. So that's for the unassigned fund balance as Lisa laid out with options 3 and 2. Jeff?
Aye, with the stipulation that my comments are added, make sure that they're added to the minutes, please.
Yes. Yep, I think I've got that. Okay, then Lisa?
Aye.
Dave?
Aye.
Lee?
Aye.
Ed?
Aye.
Michael?
Aye.
Randy?
Aye.
Where'd you disappear to
when
we went outside?
Did you get that I for Michael?
Yes, I have it.
Okay, Jay muted me, that dirty dog.
Now we have to go back to number 6. And I believe we have something on the table, laid on the table for that?
Yes.
Number 5.
Or number 5? Yes, pardon me, number 5. So what's your wishes with number 5?
Mr. Chair, I don't know, maybe Lee knows the right way, but I think what we should do is if there was a motion and a second, now we should vote on that, and I believe, and then most likely vote it down, and then it's done.
Do we first need to have a motion to remove from the table or to bring it into action again?
Okay.
That's right, Patty. Either that or just have the motion maker or the seconder withdraw their approval. Then it fails automatically.
Okay.
So I'll move, Jeff Bertram, I'll move to remove it from the table.
I'll second that. to go somewhere.
Okay, thank you.
And I'll withdraw my motion.
Okay.
Can I do that?
I think we got this covered now.
I think you need to withdraw since they made a motion to remove it.
So now we need to vote.
So now we need to go to item 5.
Okay.
And that is to remove it from the table because we had laid it on the table. Now we're removing it.
Right? We did.
Yes. Okay.
So you're going to vote to remove it from the table?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, Patty.
Okay. Got it. So, Jeff.
Aye.
Lisa.
Aye.
Dave.
Aye.
Lee.
Aye.
Ed.
Aye.
Michael.
Aye.
Randy.
Aye.
Okay, that's everyone.
Okay. Now, do we have more discussion on number 5?
Mr. Chairman, Jeff Bertram, just to be clear that we understood procedurally, the finance will see this again in May, and then the full board will see it in May as well, correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Also add in the final approval then. Okay, the board sees it in May. Do we make the final approval then, or is that simply an informational process for the balance of the board?
Mr. Chair, as we've done this in prior years since we've been doing the base budget, the finance committee typically approves the preliminary budget in May, and the full board approves the final budget in July. So there's another look in July potentially by the finance committee, depending on the direction.
Karen, do we need to, or Aaron, do we need to take any action on number 5 then, or can we?
You could instruct
it just isn't, well, it isn't quite right now.
Right. We can incorporate the base budget adjustments that we've talked about and then the unassigned fund balance into the preliminary budget document for May.
Okay.
I don't know.
Is that okay with everybody else?
Patty, we don't need action on that, do we?
Well, I would suppose they could decline action on it. Right now, there's a motion and a second out there.
So that's what I was asking before. So can I withdraw my motion?
Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about a different one. Sorry.
Sorry.
So, yes, you could. At this point, we would note that. And then, so the proposed base budget. Wondering, since it states that it's an action item, do we just need to take a vote and deny it?
Yeah, I would think that would be your best.
That's what I wanted to start with. Yeah, you need to vote on it, turn it down because we already approved 7. So
yep.
So Lisa, you could leave your motion there, and we could vote on that, unless you would like to amend it or withdraw it, and then it would just be. Just in it, no action.
So why don't I propose to amend my motion?
Here's the thing is, I said, just because we voted on it and I seconded it doesn't mean we approved it. So I think Dave said that the best way to do it is just take a vote on it. And if it's turned down, it's turned down. If it's voted down, then has been denied. And then we move on. There.
I guess that would be the cleanest way to go.
Correct.
Okay.
So basically, I'm just going to review the motion here. Where do we go? So basically, it was just Lisa made the motion to approve as presented, and Randy seconded, and then it was more discussion. So the motion is just basic right now.
Yep.
All right. So are we ready to vote then?
Yes.
All right. Jeff?
No.
Lisa?
No.
Dave?
No.
Lee?
He's muted.
Oh, Lee?
Hi.
Ed?
No.
Michael?
No.
And Randy?
No.
All right. So that is it.
And Mr. Chair, is this amazing that Lisa voted against her own motion?
Yeah, that is.
Let's get that in the headlines of the newspaper here.
Yeah. It's okay. Number 8, next meeting, May 19th, 2020. That would be that would be the library board meeting or board of trustees meeting too.
Mm-hmm. It's same night.
Same night. So are we up to, more than likely it's going to be like this. Are we up to doing that all in one night?
Oh.
It gets to be a long sit.
Yeah. I hear you. I'm fine. I think we need to turn documents around, so we wouldn't be able to meet the earliest.
Ask everybody else what they think. That was just a comment of mine.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah,
have it the Tuesday before, and then have our regular meeting on that Tuesday.
Okay. So it would be the 12th?
Yeah.
So you were suggesting the finance meet on the 12th?
Yes. That shouldn't take too long. I don't know, really, should it? I mean.
No, I don't think so. We could probably do personnel that same night, too, if it works for the personnel committee.
Yeah. I mean, that's just a suggestion. I don't care what you do, but.
This is Randy. I like that suggestion too, because otherwise if we put it all out on the 19th, that'll be a long night.
Yep.
I don't see what you all are worried about. Most of you are working from home. Your refrigerator's not that far away.
Yeah. Maybe our refrigerator don't have the same thing in it as yours does, Mike.
I don't have one at the office here. It's out in the belt pen there. It doesn't have Coors Light in it, that's for sure. Not here.
Okay.
So moving forward, we're going to have the finance and personnel on the 12th.
Perfect.
I'll check with personnel committee chair and make sure that works.
Could we agree on a time? Middle of the afternoon is not work good for me.
No, neither me. I just
screwed up my coffee time.
I thought it was your nap time, babe.
Well, that too.
How about 5 o'clock, like we normally do?
That works here.
Yes.
It's good.
Sure.
Make it work.
And then you let us know, make sure, right, Karen, Mr. Chair, that time and day will work?
Yes.
Yep. And then I would recommend the general meeting on the 19th to begin at 6, as we typically do.
Whoa. Okay. I knew there was something I liked about you, Lisa.
Do you have any sense of whether counties will be doing in-person meetings at that point? I guess we're going to be past the governor's emergency declaration.
Some counties are still doing in-person meetings, so yep. I think we're all doing it a little differently right now. And Yeah, I don't know if that'll change by then. Technology has been challenging for the counties.
Karen, you just asked us commissioners if we had any sense.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, we just sit, everybody sits 6 feet apart, and we still have the board meetings, except for me. Everybody's 20 feet away from me for some reason. But no, we still have ours at the courthouse at our board meetings.
So do we.
Yep, we do too.
We don't. So we have one or two showing up, for sure the chair, but the rest of us just WebEx in.
I think the statute says the chair has to be present to run the meetings.
I think Lee has been holding down the fort for Stearns.
Yeah, that's how we've been doing it. I'm in the chamber, but everyone else is located elsewhere. So, and we've been getting something done. It's been a pleasant surprise.
Mm-hmm. Lee is still better being in the holding cell.
Are we done, Mr. Chair? I'm going to close out.
I think
I'm just was going to add one thing that you know, a suggestion for your auditors. When we passed our resolution on the property tax relief, please understand that all property taxpayers are not equal. There are property taxpayers who pay their taxes from an escrow. Mm-hmm. So giving those folks some latitude in when to pay it really doesn't help them much. They've already paid that. So we have exempted certain property taxpayers from relief because they operate in such a manner. My suggestion would be for all of your auditors to contact Randy Streifels, our auditor, because he designed that, and it wound up making a lot of sense. So, and what it does for us as counties is that it also spreads out when those funds come in. It's we've done a couple smart things this year. That would be one of them, and I can't remember the other one.
I'll just throw one thing. It has nothing to do with the library. The Second Amendment, there's some counties that passed their resolution. We're going totally against it, and I'll leave it like that.
Mr. Chair?
Yes?
One other item, even though this is not Finance Committee, this has to do with library board in general. How many libraries do we have in our system that are doing curbside service?
As of this week, they all are.
All of them?
Wow.
Woo-hoo! It took that long to get some of our cities on board, but all of them are offering it at least one day a week. And in those places where they can, they're offering it more than that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. If with all the comments and everything we've got, I'll have a motion for adjournment.
So moved.
Second, Jeff.
We don't need to do a roll.
Bye.
Bye.